Karen tried to speak, but all that came out was a watery gargle. She stretched out with her arms in a supplicating gesture, her pale fingers reaching for Janneke. Janni hated herself for recoiling back to the far side of her bed, but she could not will herself forward. A crimson tear escaped the corner of Karin's eye and left a thick red streak down to her jaw, where it dripped, blooming like a rose when it pattered against her chest. Like Passman seconds earlier, Karin could no longer support herself. She tipped backward, making no move to break her fall. When she hit the floor, it was as though her skin didn't exist. Blood exploded everywhere as Karin's body came apart, and in the instant before Janneke Dahl went into catatonic shock, she was certain she was going insane. The salt tang of seawater struck Dr. Julia Huxley as soon as she opened the door to the ballast tank that doubled as a swimming pool. Because of the way the Oregon was configured, it was more of an Olympic-length lap pool, only two lanes wide, and flanked by a narrow catwalk tiled in pale marble that was striped with non-skid adhesive tape. Cabrillo made a crisp flip turn at the far end of the pool and powered his way toward her, his blue eyes obscured by a pair of goggles, his mouth opening wide for every breath. He must have seen her, and knew his time alone was coming to an end, because he suddenly accelerated, pouring on the power to finish the last part of his swim, as though it was a sprint. He reached her in a froth of water that spilled onto the landing and forced her back to save the Gucci loafers she was wearing, with a pair of khakis and a simple Oxford shirt.
"What gives, Hux?"
A look of concern darkened her face.
"We have a little problem. Well, it's actually Max's problem, but I think it should affect all of us."
Cabrillo draped the damp towel over his shoulders and gave Hux his undivided attention.
"Talk to me."
"He got a call this evening from his ex-wife."
Juan interrupted.
"There are three to choose from. Which one was it?"
"Lisa, number two, the one in Los Angeles he had the kids with. He didn't give me all the details, but his ex thinks their son has been kidnapped."
Juan finally asked,
"Have there been any ransom demands?"
"No, not yet. She thinks she knows who's behind the kidnapping, but has gotten nowhere with the LAPD or FBI. She wants his help getting the kid back."
Max's son would be about 22 or 23 by now, Juan recalled. His daughter was a few years older, a newbie attorney doing environmental law. Kyle Hanley hadn't lasted a year in college and had been drifting around LA's counterculture scene ever since. He'd been busted a couple of times for minor drug possession, but Juan thought he'd done a stint in rehab 2 years ago and had remained clean. Juan knew that Max would do anything to help the kid, and he suspected why his second-in-command hadn't come to him directly with his problem. Had he done so, Juan would have offered the full services of the corporation to rescue Kyle, and Max would never ask for that kind of favor. Hux went on.
"He wouldn't even consider coming to you with this because he was sure you'd demand he take your help. He told me in no uncertain terms that this was his problem, not the corporation's, and that he'd handle it on his own."
Cabrillo expected no less, but that didn't mean he wasn't frustrated by Hanley's pig-headedness.
"What's his plan?"
"As soon as possible, he's going to ask you to divert the Oregon to Karachi, the nearest city with an international airport where he can catch a flight to Los Angeles. After that, he wasn't too sure."
Juan had a mental list of questions, but he would wait to talk to Max directly.
"I'll talk to him tonight and make sure he sees the error of his ways," he said.
"That's why I brought this to you. Max can't go it alone."
It was clear Julia was relieved, though there wasn't much doubt Juan would help his best friend.
"Thanks, Hux. One day, Max's obstinacy is going to get him into trouble, but not this time."